Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome to the Paula Price Show, Dr. Price.
Well, thank you for welcoming me. I'm glad that we are here on another Thursday. And I'm looking forward to the show today, aren't you, Ashley?
I am super excited about the show today, but then again, I'm super excited about the show every week.
Well, you know, you all have been telling me we've been gaining in popularity. Maybe later on you'll tell us, let our listeners know how many are joining us weekly, monthly, since we've been going. Now, wait a minute. If I'm not mistaken, we've been on Blog Talk since when? How long have we been on Blog Talk?
We started with this format in April, top of April.
Wow, April this year, April 2013. But our call and prayer talk, prayer and radio, well, I guess it's prayer call, we'll call it that. We've been doing that, but didn't we celebrate a year recently? We kind of let that slip on by. We didn't realize it.
I know, because the whole world changed when we joined Blog Talk. It's become the new birthday. We've been born again.
I think that is a great. So we don't know. Do we celebrate our first birth or our second birth? And I'm of the mind. I want to celebrate them both. You know, I like celebrations, so I can celebrate them both.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I believe we started the phone calls the summer before that, like July maybe. In 2012, and then we rolled over into Blog Talk in the spring of 2013 because they were taking us over, Dr. Price. The callers were taking us over.
I love it, and I want the listen. I'm giving them permission to literally swamp us. We'll manage. You know, we like a challenge, so we'll manage. We appreciate your calls. We appreciate you joining us every Thursday for the Paula Price Show, and it's interesting because it started out as, well, we're going to have this prayer call, and we're going to just simply pray for whoever calls. We're just going to pray for them and wish them well and really wanted to put my prayer strength behind them. And after that, it began to engage my prophetic, and so I began to give some, you know, see different things, because if you pray enough, you can pick up some things. And then from there, it engaged my apostolics, because I began to get God's wisdom and sage counsel. And we looked around, and we went from our weekly prayer call, Prophet Ashley, who was always the producer, moderator, regulator, and everything else later, and we went from a weekly prayer call to the Paula Price Show, which is now reaching thousands and thousands of folks. And, I mean, who ever thought from that lowly beginning of, I can almost crack up without we even have to start a little piece of equipment and whatever, but who would have thought from those lowly beginnings that, you know, actually we'd end up today with the Paula Price Show and on Blog Talk Radio. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing, because we've gone from reaching, let's say, hundreds of people over a span of months to reaching literally tens of thousands of people since Blog Talk Paula Price Show launched earlier this year. And so it has been exponential in growth. We have far exceeded our own personal goal for the Paula Price Show this year.
Yes. And now we have to set new ones, because I want to literally blanket the globe. You know, sometimes I ask God, I like to, you know, just pick it, God, up. I put him to the test every now and again. You know, I feel like if you're going to be the Almighty, you pretty much should be sure or used to challenges. So I like to give God challenges. So my challenge this week is, for 2014, is how huge can he make Paula Price Show and Blog Talk? How huge can we get with the wisdom of God helping his people, praying for people, counseling them? I've got so many new friends on Facebook because of Blog Talk and LinkedIn, and now I've got a whole new growing group of Twitter friends. And you know what, everybody? I love it. Some of you know I will, you know, text you back, I'll Facebook you back, not whatever, however way we do it, but I will answer you, because I am having a blast, and you all are making my ministry at this point, at this juncture in my journey with Christ, amazing. I love it. I love the prayers. I love hearing the stories. I love the testimony. I guess that's that maternal thing in me that's hanging on. I love hearing from the family. I love hearing how, you know, sometimes you all text me or Facebook me or tweet me or whatever, and you tell me all of the difficulties. But guess what? I like to hear the good stuff, too. I like to hear when you graduate, when your children graduate from school, when your children get married or you have new babies. We get a lot of pictures of new babies. You know, I like babies, so we get a lot of pictures of new babies. And I do pray for them. I bless those babies when I see them. But we like that. We like to hear your companies making, breaking through and breaking beyond. We like to hear you growing in Christ. We like to hear about your churches, you know, and the ministries that God has given you, even your creative things that you do and innovative things you do, because that's family. And that is what family does. That's what we do when we get together. We sit around and we share the goodness of God and the great thing of God that he's done in us recently, whatever that might be. And so we do. We care about your prayers, but we don't just want to pray with you. We also want to celebrate with you because you're that important. And I think, Ashley, that is why, you know, Paula Price Show, the Blog Talk Show on Thursdays has been such a success, because we do want to pray with you. Yes, we want your breakthrough. But when you break through, we want to celebrate with you as well. We want to know that God did it. I love it when you Facebook me and say, you know, Dr. Price, you prayed for so-and-so or you prayed for that and it happened. Or, you know, I went after this. I took your counsel here or there and it worked. That's important. That's encouraging. But it doesn't just encourage me. I want to go on record and say it encourages God. It lets him know that even his labor is not in vain. You know, many times the Lord does things and we miss him. And we miss him for a number of reasons. Sometimes we miss him because we're so accustomed to the warfare, we miss the subtlety of his victories that he is weaved in the landscape of the warfare. You know, sometimes God will do all of these great things, but because he didn't do the thing the way we said it, and particularly if we're of the ilk that say we wrote it out, we picked our scripture out, we stood on this word, we defined it for God, we claimed it, et cetera. Those of us who are fixed in how we issued that prayer or how we issued that petition can often miss that God answered it. And because we miss the answers, we don't hold on to it, and it makes us poor custodians of his breakthroughs, of his miracles. And I taught my members, I teach my church, you know what? God works miracles in the everyday life, in everyday world. You know, God may be working a miracle for you, but it's not stopping the clock. Calendars aren't changed. You know, not every miracle that we get is a life-stopping miracle. Many of them are providential. Many of them are just as we go along. So, you know, God, I really need money for gas. And then all of a sudden, somebody out of nowhere says to you, you know, the Lord told me to give you this. That's a miracle. Well, you know, we have a lot of people who are very logical today. We have a lot of, you know, humanist folks and all of that stuff that say, well, you know, that could have happened any other way. Maybe it could and maybe it couldn't, but what if you stop praying for a year to figure it out? Not a lot of us want to put God to the test like that. Not a lot of us want to give, you know, coincidence that much time and attention to the point that we stop reaching out for God all together just to see if coincidence, time, and chance would work for us as well as our prayers. And see, so, you know, when people say that to me, I'm like, well, okay, well, if that's what you call your thing, that's fine. But I'm not going to lay God off for a year just to find out if, in fact, it's a living God answering my prayer or luck and chance and coincidence. I'm going to keep God working. And as far as I'm concerned, if he's the Alpha and Omega, there's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as coincidence, because Alpha means I started it. Omega means I finished it. And somewhere in the beginning, I did it. And so I'm going to give God glory for being Alpha and Omega in my life. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a crumb of bread or if it's a brand new house, a brand new car, whatever, because nothing happens by mistake. Now, when you are very powerful in life and people who are very successful, very wealthy, will tell you that a lot more happens in life by design than they ever have by accident. And so we need to think, as we move up in God, we need to recognize God has an innumerable company of angels. He has a force of beings that do nothing but obey his will and handle his bidding. Here's where we get stuck, my beloved. I'm telling you, this is going to set you free. And since we're coming up on the end of the year, you need to hear this. But here is where we get stuck. We get stuck on praying to a single God, thinking that he is all alone. God is God alone. But he is not alone as God. See, and so we need to get our minds straight. Just because we're praying to the one and only God doesn't mean he is only one doing anything. And I don't know. I think that that's really worth you taking a moment to consider it. Because, see, if you pray to God alone and you think that God is alone, you think he is too busy, too tied up, too confused, too overwhelmed to handle your issue. Because you realize that if we're made in his image and likeness, and he looks remotely like us, he's got one head, two hands, two feet, you know, two eyes, he's made like us. And so if that's the case, how much can a single individual, even being the Almighty, get done if you've got a planet full of 7+ billion people and billions of angels, creatures, etc.? Now, God says that, you know, that nothing falls to the ground. Your hair doesn't fall out your head without him knowing. He counted them all. He knows, and all of that. So think about it, because maybe your faith in God is locked down or limited by your perception of God in ability. I realize that God is everywhere present at once, but he still only has two hands. Well, I realize that he's omnipotent or whatever, but he still only has two hands, two feet. So how much can he get around to me? And so because of that, we don't believe he gets it done. And we would rather say that it was luck and happenstance that answered our prayers, that met our needs, that provided for us, rescued us, than the fact that there is this almighty being with an innumerable company of angels who do his bidding all the time. Now, I'm going to give you a picture of God. It's going to upset a few of you because, you know, we used to looking at God and dealing with God from the pulpit. You know, he's the God that told our preacher what to say, and however way our preacher presents him, that's the A and Z of God. No, we just get a little fragment of God. You know, if we wanted to figure out how little a piece of God we have, we just need to go to the sand on the seashore. You know, we hold one grain of sand. That's like nothing for God. But we found out that something almost as small as a grain of sand can hold millions and millions of bits of information electronically to let us know how phenomenal our God must be. But I want to get back to my point. So here you think, I want you to ask yourself, when you're thinking about your prayers from now on, are you praying to God because he's the one and only God who has all at his disposal? Or are you praying to God because you hope he can get around to it, but you don't envision him being able to do so because he's just God all by himself? See, we preach he's God all by himself, but we think that means that God works it out alone, that he has no help, that he doesn't have a system in place, that he doesn't have staff, that he doesn't have resources. And even though Scripture tells us that, we do not credit him with having the capacity, which is age old. God's been at this thing so long that he got angels that's going to answer him before you even get your prayer up. Why? Because he assigned you angels to see to your life. He assigned you all sorts of forces to see to your life. So look at God. Let's just take our country. You know, we can talk about all day long, well, you know, these are all of the things wrong with America, and there's a lot. God, I'm going to say there's a lot wrong with us, but by the same token, there's a lot right with us. And so here you never see your senator, you never see your representative, you don't see half of what these people do until it happens to you. Or until you need it. There are a lot of things that are on the books in your state to supply your needs, to provide for you, to give you jobs, to take care of your requirements as a citizen. There are a lot of things on the book. You never have to leave your house. You don't see the head of the electric company who keeps your life going. You do not ever meet the head of the utility companies, period. Your heat, your phones, you don't care about that. You don't even care about it. All you, as a matter of fact, you don't expect them to answer the phone. Your lights go out. You don't expect to say, I want to get a call right directly to the president of this company, and he's going to get my life back on. I mean, you might do it, but people are going to kind of call you crazy because nobody expects you to do it. You've got this few dollar an hour customer service person who writes, takes your problem, your request, writes your order, issues it, and sets in motion a chain of events to see to it that your need is met, your request is answered, your problem is solved. Now, we learned that from God, because he said the things that are seen are made by the unseen God. So the invisible things of God are recognized by what we do every day. So now here you go, take it to a prayer. Now here's where some saints get stuck. See, I'm going someplace today. But here's where some saints get stuck. Well, unless Jesus Christ himself get off this throne and come down here and tell me this and tell me that, I won't believe. I want you to understand you're going to die with that unbelief on your heart, because Jesus Christ is a busy God, and he's got a system that works. You don't expect the head of anything else to come and answer you. When you get ready, when somebody stops you from a traffic violation, you don't stand there and say, unless the mayor of the city himself or herself comes and tells me I ran that light, I won't believe. You don't say that. You go to jail just like with that same little cop, that one person, taking it by faith that they are the one. You have to take by faith that who in that uniform is really who should be in it, and who's flashing that badge is really who should be flashing. And you live by that faith every day, all day. Somebody comes up behind you and flash a red light, you don't stop and say, oh, my God, I don't believe that could be a cop. You're like, oh, Lord, that's a cop. And yet we won't give God credit for the systems that he has in place that are so superior that they don't just meet individual needs. They set up systems that meet your need and then back them. They supply everything. There are times that God will send a prophet to you. And what do you say? I'm not listening to the prophet because it's not how God said it to me. But yet you will go to a customer service rep who will tell you, or you'll get a letter in the mail that says, their lights are going to be off on Tuesday. You do not go there and say, oh, my gosh, you don't have a right to turn off my lights. You're like, did I pay my bill? And you know if you didn't pay your bill, your lights are going off, and nobody cares whether you're facing it or not. Nobody cares that you believe or don't believe the systems that are in place, because you respect the order. And our God is like that. God's answering your prayers not as God's going to get up off the floor. Throne and run back and forth here, to and fro with you. It didn't say God is running to and fro. He said his eyes are looking to and fro that he can show himself strong. But God is not doing the ripping and running. He's not going to come down in your house and get you, put you in a new apartment. He's going to, listen, give the assent to different beings that he has in place who will then move human agencies to make it happen. Why are we having this discussion? Because I believe God answered a lot of prayers that we missed. I believe that he gave a lot of things that, because we didn't approve of how he sent it, or we didn't approve of the messenger or the minister that did it, or we did not approve of the method he used, we blew it off. I believe that a lot of us are coming up on a final last go-round with God and his patience, and he's going to reassign that person, that agency, that minister, that voice to another thing, and we're going to leave this planet thinking he didn't answer our prayer, because we want God to answer our prayers according to how we heard it preached in church and not according to the systems that he has in place. I believe that some of you today are on this phone, and you know good and well God is giving you, presenting you with an opportunity, but you don't like how it's come. You don't like what he said. You don't like how the person delivered it, because we're so wrapped up in the aesthetics of sermonizing, because we are caught up. We're bound up in sermonic aesthetics. They have to say it with the right voice. They have to look a certain way. They have to stand this way. They have to go. And if they don't look like my favorite preacher, if they don't say it the way I learned it in school, if they don't go according to my 10 principles, then it's not God. And I'm telling you, a lot of people are in trouble today because the spiritual aesthetic of their prayer didn't come right. You didn't like the package. You know, I don't like stripes. I like dots. I don't like blue. I prefer green. But I'm here to tell you that we're coming into a season where God is going to say, I'm deliberately going to answer your prayer with everything you hate, to see if you trust me enough and if you can recognize when I've moved in your life. And I think that a lot of people who are on this call and who will be hearing this call are in that same boat where God sent you to a church you didn't like. You didn't like the church. It was too little. It didn't like the music. I didn't like how the person sat. I didn't like him wearing that suit. I didn't like her hairdo. You got caught up in that, but your blessings were in the house. God sent you to cities. You didn't like how he gave you the answer. And I'm saying to you today that we're going to have to be like Hagar and Ishmael in that water, like Elisha and his servant, and we got to ask God to open our spiritual eyes so that we don't miss his blessing. The prophet told Naaman, go dip in this water. He didn't like the water of Israel. I don't want to do it. I got some fine pools in Damascus that I can dip in. I don't have to dip in your dirty water to get clean, but somebody's going to have to dip in some dirty water today and get clean and get healed. You're going to have to go to a clinic when you want to go to a major medical center, but this is where your answer is. And I hear God saying today, and I'm speaking to you today, not only prophetically, but I'm speaking to you today apostolically, and I'm telling you that God is not who you think he is. He is not your slave. He's not step and fetch and run and get. Jesus is not going to get off the throne to tell you your preacher was right, your pastor was right, your mom was right. He does not have to do it. He's got a ton of voices who do that for him without working at it. He got a whole dream system. He can tell you in a dream. He still doesn't have to come down and tell you. He can tell you in a vision. He can tell you in prayer. He can tell you through your dog, your cat, your bird, because he's God. But the idea that we have so diminished him that he has to answer our prayers our way, on our terms, is how we got in this mess. Because he answers so-and-so this way, he's got to answer you this way. So, in fact, you don't care about the prayer being answered. You're in love with whether or not you like the medium that he used or the method. And I hear God saying to somebody today, I've been trying to answer this for you for a long time. And you keep kicking it back in my face. You've slammed the door on my ministers. You've shut your eyes to who I saw. You have chased the wrong thing. You have stood out there with peddlers instead of going into the place that I provided. And God is saying, we're running out of time. And in the days to come, when chaos is about to hit our planet in a way that is unprecedented, undocumented historically, you had better know your God, and you better know that no matter how it looks, that God has sent it to you. A lot of people fell into sin because they wanted their answers the way they wanted their answers, and by the time they realized they were duped, it was too late. So some of you all are going to get instructions from the Lord in 2014 that's going to make no sense to you whatsoever. Your job, your task, your duty in that regard is to pray and say, open my eyes. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. And you're going to have to be like Hagar and Ishmael when they got put out. Hagar, and they were crying, and God, now I like the fact that God deals with his covenant ones differently. Because when you read that story about Hagar and Ishmael out in the wilderness, Ishmael's crying, and the text says God heard Ishmael. Now Hagar was crying too and praying, but guess what? She wasn't in covenant, but Ishmael was. And God listened to the cries of that of Abraham's son and began to answer his prayer. Now, there are times that you have to do it. You have to know whether or not there's a ram in the bush. You're going to have to ask for your spiritual eyes to be open. I think 2014 ought to be the time that we start focusing on developing our spiritual selves in truth and not just our occultic self. Because a lot of stuff we do it according to some sort of ridiculous, arcane religion that God is no longer honoring instead of what he's doing today. So if you're going to go to spiritual classes, you better make sure that those are classes that God is running with and not something that's fascinating you. Because your fascinations will not bring you into the revelation that set you free. I hear God saying to somebody, I'm trying to answer you, and you are being hard-headed and stiff-necked about how I want to do it. Because we want God to do it the way we want it, the way we need it, as we know all things. And I'm telling you, I don't know who you are, but God is saying, I'm going to give you one more round to get you out of this mess, and you need to listen. Because God is a busy God. He's just not too busy for you. But because we can say God isn't too busy, and because God can't miss it, and he answers our prayer, we just assume that we can trivialize his resources, and we can make light of his answers and his solutions, and that is not going to work. I think that if God gave me the grace to do anything, I would love to spend a good 5 to 10 weeks somewhere, somehow, teaching people how to receive God, how to hear from him, and how to learn him as he is. Because what we are running on is not what he's sending. As a matter of fact, what we're running on is running way past what God is doing. We're running way out of orbit of where he is. And we need to come back to the fact of how God operates. He is a king. He sits on the throne. He has hosts upon hosts upon hosts upon hosts that are administrating for him. And in the same way, your boss will tell your boss, your supervisor, what to tell, how to tell you to work and do your job. God does the same thing. God has angels that don't need to make a decision. Let's go to, let's think about in with Lot. Lot was, I mean, they're trying to do away with Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angels already know that this thing, this meteor shower is on its way. It's getting ready to burn up this land, but nothing can happen until they get Lot out the way. And so Lot is wanting, you know, he's playing around with my wife is cutting up and the kids don't want to go, and I got to get my last minute this and my last minute that. And those angels had to make a decision in the instant for the greater decision, the greater command, which was nothing that belonged to Abraham would be destroyed in that judgment. So they had to make an on-the-spot decision to snatch him up and rush him out of the land so that they did not have to go back to the Most High and say, oops, he wouldn't listen. I don't know. He just wouldn't listen. He missed it. Now think about what they had to do. They had to break time and space. They had to break his will, override his will, yank him up, snatch him out of that land to save his life, because he was too blind to realize that two angels showing up is not a common thing and something drastic must be happening. But he was so in love with having his life his way on his terms that even when crises were coming, even when the abnormal happened, the supernatural happened, he missed it. And the only thing that saved his life was those angels being free in their own right, in their own responsibilities to move him out, because even though they were not to touch him, even though they were not to interfere with his life, time, and space, the greater mandate was that he lived. And sometimes we do that to God. And so unless this is there's a life or death situation, that God's angels, well, I'm sorry, that's not how we do business. It's our job to know how they do business. It's our job to work with them instead of always working against them. It is our responsibility as mature Christians to understand that if, even though God is unseen, doesn't make him unreal. And even though his ways are not our ways, doesn't mean that his ways are subservient or subordinate or inferior to ours. We have got to think better in this time to come, because what's hitting our planet is not is going to take out a lot of naive folk. And we're not going to be ready to contend with what's coming, not, let alone defend ourselves from its aftermath. So I'm saying to you all today, first of all, whoever you are who likes to make that statement, I want you to stop making that. Don't ever make that again. Jesus Christ, God himself, going to have to come. Don't say that, because you are courting in your life a calamity down the line that's going to prove that God doesn't need to get off the phone, to get off his throne to deal with you. He's not going to do it. That is the most disparaging, disrespectful, and to me, diminishing statement you can make, that this man cannot be God unless he stands in your living room. Who says that? No, I don't even know, but I've heard people say it. Well, I'm sorry. I don't care how many people tell me. I don't care. Do you realize what you sound like when you say to God, I don't care how many people you send me. I don't care how many messengers you send me. I don't care how many signs you send me, unless you yourself show up like you would know. Like, unless you yourself show up, I won't believe it. What did Jesus say to Thomas? He said, I don't care what you say. Unless I put my hand in his scars and jab my hand in his scar on his side, I will not believe. That's what that sound says like. And God said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. What is he saying? Blessed are those who can respect me and regard me without a whole lot of physical machinations, just because they know my ways and just because they know I am. So I'm just encouraging some of you. I know this might be a little bit stark, but y'all know me by now. You call him because you know me. So we're not even going to play about she should have said it this way or that way. You call to hear me say it the way I say it. So I'm telling you, don't say that again. Whoever you are, stop that, because that's grieving the Holy Spirit and it's binding up your answered prayer. Let's give him credit for not just being some abstract, absent leader. Jesus Christ is not absent. That's why he sent his Holy Spirit to the planet. He sent his Spirit to the planet so he could be everywhere present at once, so that your answers would get first thought and first attention with him. But let's not mistreat, let's not abuse our up-close and personal relationship with him. Let's act like we know that he has an order, he has systems that have to be in place. If the Lord gave me grace this year, I'm going to do teachings on what God has in place and what he does to answer our prayers, and how he can say, before they call, I answered them. So if he answered it before you called, that means the thing was fixed before you discovered you had a need. You need to recognize the only option you have is to accept or reject. And it's time for us to be mature saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is time for us to recognize that he is the God of gods, he's the Lord of lords, and that he doesn't just walk around. He's not a cloak in the creation. Jesus is not creation's super cloak. He's not cloaking, going to do our little details and our little biddings. No, Jesus has systems and he has networks and provisions and providences that work with or without our permission and that will get the job done. And I will tell you, for those of you who say, are you saying that God doesn't answer prayer? I'm saying when a prayer gets in a planet, you need to be where it is. So if God is answering your prayer at the church he told you to be at last year, you decided to get mad at the preacher and quit, the prayer, that thing was en route. You know, the meteor shower was coming to Sodom and Gomorrah. It didn't make a difference whether Lot left or stayed. That was the highest thing that was happening. And so some of you all, you broke off relationships that should not have been broken off. You got mad with the pastor because you didn't like what he said. Got mad with the pastor's wife because somebody pointed out your stuff. You, whatever that is, I'm trying to tell you. I don't know who you are today, but I'm trying to tell you, come back off of that a little bit. Pull back off of that defensiveness and start seeing the bigger picture. Because sometimes God will even, because he so wants you to mature, he will even go and create his solutions in areas he knows you're going to miss. Because that way he can say, I answered your prayer and you refused it. It's like refusing delivery at your house of a package that you want and then getting on the phone and yelling with the company and yelling at them saying that you did not get your package when in fact you refused delivery. Or having it at the post office and just refusing to go get it. So make sure you're not refusing delivery of your answered prayers. Make sure that when the messengers come, you're not going to say, I don't like the way he looked, even though he had all of the credentials to say he was from the company. I still didn't like it, so I didn't answer it, and I didn't take the package. Let's make sure today and as we go forward that we're mature enough to recognize when it's God and when we have a question, that we are prudent enough to stop and seek his face and say, Lord, open our eyes. Open my eyes to see the truth here. Open my eyes, open my mind, open my heart. Nobody faults you for being closed-minded unless you refuse to open your mind to make sure that your closed-mindedness is a healthy defense and not just a fearful or stubborn rejection. So God wants you to do that. So anyway, I wanted to get that out today because God says I'm getting ready to release things. I'm releasing a lot of things. I've released a lot of things. Some of us got things that are held up from January and February 2013 that are contingent upon us getting what we get in 2014. Let's make sure we're hearing. Don't reject your messengers. Explore the situation. Be thoughtful. Be prudent. Be interrogative. Go ahead and ask God, okay, God, show me. But don't just make snap judgments and don't make snap decisions simply because it didn't look like how you wrote it in your journal or it didn't look like how the prophet said it or it didn't look like how the preacher preached it. You need to recognize that there are a lot of good things in bad-looking stores. And there are very good things, but you know what? We won't know it because we won't explore where it really is. Anyway, I wanted to say that, and I thought, Prophet Ashley, I thought you might appreciate that today. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Always appreciating the wisdom, little pinchy pinchy, little ouchy ouchy. I think the greatest, isn't that kind? I think the greatest hindrance probably across the board in mainstream American Christianity is us bringing our democratic republic mentality to the body of Christ. Because we have rights and we're the land of the free and the home of the brave here, we think that carries over into the kingdom of God. But we say, when we sing the songs, Scripture says he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and all these wonderful things, but we treat him like a president who we're holding hostage by a vote. And that kind of mentality will oftentimes get us in trouble because we feel that our tantrums will move God, or we feel like a kid or even an adult having a tantrum that because my feelings are real to me, that I have a right to exercise and to act on them. And that's usually not the case. And I think that, I mean, just all what you were saying, even about just because God is unseen doesn't mean he's unreal. I love that. I posted that on my Facebook. It's just really good. But that is, we treat him like, well, I can't see him, so, you know, if I cheat on him, he's not here to know. If I talk to him, it doesn't matter. If I go off on him, he's less of a person because I can't see him. And so that was very provoking, thought-provoking, and it's provoked me to go back and listen to last week's show again because last week's wisdom was very powerful.
Yeah, the whole Kadesh Barnea thing. You know,
yes,
one
Barnea,
of the things, and the tablets, you know, Moses and the tablets, you know. That was interesting. But you know, one of the things that I would like to share with our listeners today also as we kind of wrap up our discussion here, and I do appreciate these discussions because I want, you know, our listeners to know that I know I have the wisdom. I know what God has taught me, but isn't it great to hear how it lands in different people? And so, yeah, we do allow you to do that. We're going to have a couple of guests on 2014. We have a few more guests on our show throughout the year just to give our listeners an opportunity to hear God from the other dimensions. But I want to say this to you. You know, the question often comes up, if God's invisible, why won't he just make himself visible to us and that'll settle it? Well, the bottom line is God can make himself visible all day long, but the blindness in us still won't help. We won't know. You know, if you think about how often we let false doctrines fly, you know good and well, we're going to let a false Jesus in. Well, we already let a false Jesus in because this man's character is what it is. His word is what it is. He says it the way he says it, and it means what it means. But you know what? We won't accept it because we don't respect him. Now, if we got a court document, we would take that as law. It would scare us half to death. Yet God gave us a legal document in his word, and we pervert it any way we want. And the reason we do it is because God's reactions are merciful, and he's long-suffering before he reacts to what we're doing. But the reason God needs you to do it is because in God's world, this flesh doesn't appear. So he needs you to become masters of dealing with what does occupy his world. Now, I'm going to say that again because I realize that was a profound statement. Why won't God just show up? Why won't he just do everything according to our five senses? Because this body returns to the dust, and what exists in God's world is what we can't see. So we need to get very good at seeing with the resources of the new creation man, because the old creation man, the Adamic man, won't make it in God's world. It doesn't show up. And if it doesn't show up, you become a master of handling your flesh is useless in his world. So God gave us the Holy Spirit, and then he gave us a new spirit, and then he gave us a new heart, and then he gave us a new mind, and he told us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then he said transform your mind so that you can understand who he is and how his world works. Why does he do that? Because you leave this flesh behind, and you leave the sound of this voice behind. And because nothing that you hold to, nothing that you say will make you believe will travel with you in God's world, it is useless for him to teach you how to master his world with our own weakened and flawed and doomed resources. That's why he does it. So that's why he wants you to understand the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important for you to do it, because in their world, they don't operate on this. They operate on a whole different system. They got a whole different body, whole different sound waves, everything sonar, sight, everything different in God's world. And so he needs you to be trained by the Spirit, his new spirit that he puts in you, and your new spirit to live in his world, because nothing that you have mastered here, it can travel. Not one of it will show up in his world. So that's why he will speak to you by his spirit. That's why he does everything spirit, because in Jesus' land, it's all orchestrated, mediated, engineered, and powered by his spirit. Now, Ashley, tell me if that's not an amazing revelation.
Oh, that's an amazing revelation.
It's important that we recognize it, because people get angry. I don't know. Why don't you just say it straight up? You want him to say it the way it is in your land. That's like you going to France speaking French the way you think it ought to be. And mad with them because they're saying it the way it is. Well, I don't understand. Why don't they just break it down and understand? You realize America spent a lot of time breaking life down into every individual's understanding. Other nations don't do that. They expect you to grow up to them. They're not going to break everything down for you. And that's how it is for God. It is useless for God to teach you how to master him based on the principles of this world and this life, because they don't live. They don't last. He says they're fading away. The reason he said, because we read the Bible poetically, we think that it is more imaginary than it is. It is not. They just use whatever language was available at that time. But it's up to us, God's ministers, the fivefold. That's why we offer the equipment of the saints for the work of the ministry and all of those things. That all has to do with God's world. Doesn't have anything to do with ours. This is passing away. And even if it outlasts you, it's not traveling with you. If you die, you're still going to leave this flesh here. You're going to leave your car here. You're going to leave your degrees here. You're going to leave your education here. You're going to leave your body here. You're going to leave your family. You're going to leave your best friends. You're going to leave CNN, TNN, everybody's news network. You're going to leave every university. All of the stuff that you are banking on won't fly there. And that is why God makes a big deal about you learning him as he is. Because learning him as he is means that you will get along with him and be compatible with him where he is. Hallelujah. Hey, prophet, you can say I'm on fire today, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we can refer back to the Israelites. People don't want God to speak to them because that mountain shook, that ground shook half an inch, and they were like, Moses, you go. You go. You go see. Dr. Price, you go. You go tell us. No, you come and tell us the dog's wisdom every week on the call so I can act like I did or didn't hear it and maybe toss it around a little bit before I decide if I'm going to do anything about it. Nothing's changed.
I know you're right. You know what? I know it. So listen, for those of you, I would encourage you all to go back and listen to my exhortation today. God wants to grow us up, and a lot of people don't even understand what it is to be a mature Christian. What I just described to you is a mature Christian. You know, the Christian that could navigate two worlds at once superbly. That's a mature Christian. A Christian that can deal with God and then deal with God in heaven on his throne and deal with God in the person of the Holy Ghost and still not fall apart when they have to deal with the ways of this world. Can you imagine? That is a masterful achievement. It's a masterful attainment, and it takes us a lifetime to get it. But God, God be praised, those of us he wants to get it will live long enough to master it because he knows it takes that long. It took, look at this, it took Enoch 300 years to master God. 300 years. God started dealing with him when he was age 65. It still took him 300 years to master the principles and the culture, et cetera, of God's world enough to see it as an everyday constant thing and step over. I don't even want to imagine what the man went through to try to even get that. Because, you know, God hurts your feelings more often than not in the beginning. Matter of fact, the beginning days for God are so uncomfortable, folks drop out. Not talking about dropping out of school. People drop out on God all the time. Because God in his early days is tough. He's just difficult. He's difficult because he's that different. His culture is so drastically opposed to ours and so drastically different. So anyway, we're going to pick this up at another call. I'm having fun with this. But I just wanted to give you all some information and to give you a little bit of insight in God's mind to know what it's like to deal with him as he is. And I'm going to use that phrase a lot because that's the word that God gave me when he called me to ministry. He said, teach my people to know me as I am. And that didn't just mean as I am Yahweh, to know me as Yahweh. It meant to know me as I really am, as I really exist, how I really think, how I really feel, how my world runs. And so he wants us to understand him on that magnitude. So, listen, Ashley, here's what I want to do. I want to, is Prophet Adir around to tell us what we got going on? And then you can remind our people to up with us. Because, you know, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago how we need to remind people how to find us outside of Thursday's call. So make sure we let them know how to find us. We'll have Prophet Adia. We'll get one or two announcements in there, and then boop, we'll go right to our callers, whom I cannot wait to hear from today.
Absolutely. You are listening to The Paula Price Show on blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, where you can go back and listen to any show from this year. And actually, we have messages that predate this year that were already up online. This is an online radio. show. And so you can go 24/7 to hear anything that we have said that is still up there. And these messages are for you. They have titles. Many of them have titles on them. Again, that's Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. You don't have to click a link from Facebook to get there. You don't have to wait for an email from us. You can go right to that website anytime and share this link with all of your friends. Imagine what would happen if we all shared with 25 people that we know, 10 people that we know, and they shared with 10 or 25 people that they knew, and so on and so forth. Our goals will be reached. This message will get out there, and this wisdom will get out there. So we have out there live in the field, Prophet Adia Peterson. Tell our fans what is going on in the wonderful world of Dr. Paula Price.
Hey, guys. Thanks, Prophet Ashley. Just to let you guys know today how you can catch up with Dr. Price after the show. Dr. Price is on Twitter. Dr. Price is on Facebook. And she's on LinkedIn. If you are a Facebooker, you can look her up at, under Apostle Paula Price on Facebook. If you like to tweet, you can catch Dr. Price at Dr. Paula Price. And if you are that businessman or woman and you do LinkedIn all day, every day, you can catch her at www.linkedin.com/Dr. Paula Price as well. So you can always catch up with Dr. Price anytime after the show. We want you to make sure you go visit drpaulaprice.com. and click shop for products so you can check out all the things that Dr. Price has going on. Still this month through December 31st, you can get her apostleship readiness course for $100. It's usually $250, so you do not want to miss out on that. Also, we're doing 2014 event season pass right now. If you attended the Apostolic Summit and the Tulsa Prophetic Forum this year and you were ever changed, we want to make sure that you get in on the absolute best deal that there's going to be for registration for those events. You can get a season pass to both events for $89 now through December 31st, or if you know that you're just going to attend one of those events, you can attend for $49 before December 31st. So you do not want to miss that. Last but certainly not least is our pick of the week. If you get our emails, you already have our pick of the week. If not, check us out at drpaulaprice.com, click shop for products, and you'll find our pick of the week is Wise Apostolic Relationships. A short read, you can get it instantly when you purchase. It'll come right to your download, and we're so excited to be bringing you guys all of our picks of the week. So stay tuned to drpaulaprice.com for all of our latest deals and all that we've got going on, and we'll see you on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn.
All right. If it can be found, we have found it for you to reach Dr. Price. She is also on YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/Dr. Paula Price, Dr. Paula Price, you can go through messages and clips of messages and other announcements and commercials that we have on that YouTube site. So you can get your fill of Dr. Price every single day of the year and get wisdom firsthand from the mouth of God. So we're going to go to a few announcements, and we'll be right back.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiatives. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you fit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities. Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
All right, and we are back here live with the Paula Price Show with the one and only Dr. Paula Price. I mean, could the world contain more than one? Let's find out. Let's have as many people seeking God's wisdom as possible and actually see what happens.
Oh, I love it. I'm excited about that. And then we have a nice wisdom party, and we just all sit around the table munching on something that we love and talk about how wise God is and how much we appreciate it. And you know what, actually, today we could do that over the phone. You know, we could do that around the phone.
What I love about technology is it brings the whole world together at once. And so we have listeners in Europe. We have listeners here in Tulsa, California. It doesn't really matter. We can all be on the same page in God at the same time.
I love it. I'll tell you, I love it. Well, listen, do I have any callers? You know, I like to talk to the callers when they are on Thursday. So do I have any of those?
You do. You have some who decided to not shop during their lunch hour and to be on the Paula Price Show. Actually, I think there are more people on now taking that break to make it happen. We have on the line today Dr. Price Jerome from North Carolina. He's calling because he has a few things going on. He was recently suspended from his job due to alleged allegations, he says, that are not true. He is – sorry about that. He is a newlywed. I'm like, they're just rolling through here. Doesn't the whole world know we are doing the Paula Price Show right now? And it needs to stop. Okay. He's a newlywed. Recently, he said the Lord led him to leave the church. And I'm not sure if that's leave his church that he was in and is waiting to see where he needs to go next. So he's asking you, what is happening in my life and what's the next step? Jerome from North Carolina, welcome to the Paula Price Show. You are live with Dr. Price.
Hey, God bless you, Dr. Paula Price.
God bless you, Jerome. I'm glad that we're talking today. Now, you're from North Carolina, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Good, good. How is it there in the North Carolinas?
Beautiful. Four seasons are beautiful.
Great. Is that your native state?
No, ma'am. I'm originally from Florida. Transplanted to North
Carolina. I know about the transplantation. I tell you what, the Lord surprises us, doesn't he?
Yes, ma'am.
How can I be a blessing to you today?
Just trying to get some direction, as the prophet has said, concerning my job situation, ministry, location, and ministry moving forward in 2014.
So now, which one are we going to attack first? Your job. You said you had some sort of allegations that aren't true. Is that right?
That's correct.
So you were let go because of it? Now, you don't have to tell us the allegations, but how did that come about?
Well, it's I've been suspended with pay so far and received a letter and everything, and they're investigating it and pending their outcome. I take it the answer will come in 2014 with a decision. I'm just trying to figure out, is God sending me in a different direction? Does he want me to just sit, wait, or which direction to move in?
Well, do you have another job? I mean, are you laid off, or are you suspended, or are you actually terminated?
No, I'm suspended with pay. Still on the books.
Okay. So, hey, still on the books is not a bad thing, you know, because at least you know you have a job. Because in today's time, we really have to, you know, we have to fight for what God gives us. Now, are you in a profession where if you didn't stay in this job, you would be able to do another one that would be comparable?
Training and development.
Okay. And the reason I ask you is because, well, a couple of things that I want to say here. The first thing God says, first I'm going to congratulate you on being a newlywed. I think that's powerful. How long have you been married?
3 months.
Oh, you are a brandy newlywed. Okay. Congratulations. And by all means, please give our regards to your brandy new bride. But the first thing I want to tell you is that I don't know what it's like in your region, but I do know that in your life right now, God said he is ordering your steps. Now, here's what I see. I see you standing. You got both hands in your pocket. I see your foot, and you're putting one foot forward. So you put your left foot forward, but you're waiting. And it's like you're waiting for something else to happen. And it seems to me, Jerome, that in your whole life, you have been waiting for a particular event to happen to secure what you want to do in life. So first I'm going to tell you is that if you don't have to quit your job, don't do it.
Okay.
If you don't have to quit, don't do it. If they are already meeting your needs, don't do it. Because this is you might want to step out, but I'm telling you, I don't think it's time for you to step out. I think it's time for you to just see what happens. And I'll tell you something. Many times when God stirs up the pot and he stirs up controversy, it's because he wants something different, or he wants you to obey something he told you to do regarding your profession. Now, I don't know that it's regarding this job, but certainly regarding your profession. But sometimes God said to tell you that in everything that you've been living, today his word to you is have an ear to hear. Have a hearing ear, because even though the situation may be false, it may be contrived, the bottom line is your job is to find out what God's word to you is. You have to go back and revisit the situations that led up to it, which is why I started by asking you, how did we get there? You know, what did we get there? What got us there? And if you are at a point where he has turned you into the hands of the authority, there is a good reason. And I don't care if that reason is developmental, because he's preparing you for a promotion or another position down the line that you needed to defend yourself from right now. Because a lot of times when God's getting ready to move us onward and promote us, he does it in one of three ways. He'll throw us into unbelievable training, or he'll throw us into unbelievable trial, or he will simply move us ahead ill-prepared. The more prepared God's going to make you, the more training and trial you're going to go through. Now, you asked about ministry, so obviously the Lord is talking to you about ministry, and he's talking to you about working for him. If God is talking to you about ministry and trying you in your job, what he's saying to you is that there is an attitude you have in your job that if you carry it over to ministry, it will hurt you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Where are you stuck? I want to hear where you're stuck. I don't want to just ramble on. I want to hear where you're stuck.
I'm sorry, Dr. Paula Price, your last statement.
I said, then where are you stuck? I don't want to just ramble on. I want to hear where you're stuck. What part don't you understand?
You said if there's something going on with the job, God is trying to show you with regard to something with regards to ministry?
No, I said that if God is calling you to ministry and
okay.
He's trying you in your job, then there's an attitude that you have in your job that if you carry it over to ministry, it's going to hurt you.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. So let's just say in your job you feel like, I'm saying this theoretically, I'm not saying this is you, but let's just say in your job you feel like people don't have a right to tell you what to do, or you already know what to do and that you're an independent worker and you don't really need everybody breathing down your neck, or you know how to make good decisions and all of those kinds. Let's just say theoretically or hypothetically that is you. Let's say that's you. when you get over to ministry and there is no staff, there's no company, there's no backing, there's nobody paying for pens and pencils, nobody's paying the rent, it's all on you. You have got to learn to work with people and get along with folk and to tolerate things that you wouldn't tolerate just for the sake of survival.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I hear God talking to you about understanding the principles of surviving, of founding a work. And I don't care whether you found it by yourself or if you're talking about going into ministry to help your pastor or to help your friend or taking a promotion. You've got to learn to get along with people, but you've got to learn to hear that not just the voice but the sound of authority and the sound of cooperation. Because when you – if you're very smart, if you're very quick, and I'm telling you, I've had it. When you're very smart and you're very quick, you don't realize you don't need a lot of people to tell you a lot of things, but sometimes you still can miss things, and you have to learn how to work as a team. God is about teams. He's about team in business. He's about team in ministry. He's also about working, every member doing their share. And that's what I hear God saying to you. What you think ministry is and what it really is, it is not. And so even if this situation that you're in with your job is contrived, take some time, sit down and look at it and say, now, okay, let me take me out of it and let me put somebody else in it. And if I was looking at this from another perspective, how would I evaluate this situation? How would I reveal the cause and effects or even expose the cause and effects? And how would I tap into my own soul and discern the reasons for it? Because no matter what happens, with God being in charge of everything, whether it was right, whether it's just or unjust, there is still a valid reason. Are we there? Are we on the same page still?
Understood. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Always a valid reason, because the Bible says that if God doesn't shield you, and he said that he allows things to come upon us as common to man, then that means that he wants us to discover his way of escape. But he also wants you to understand where it is. Now, before I'm coming back to that, because I'm getting to a point, but when I talk to you now, I'm going to ask you about ministry. What do you think your ministry is?
In the prophetic preaching.
Okay. All right. So you're a prophet right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and you've been in the prophetic how many years?
2001.
So that's a long time. You're an old guard, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm saying this for a reason, because if you're an old guard, then none of this should have taken you by surprise.
No, ma'am.
Which means God told you it was coming down the pike.
Yes, ma'am.
And he told you why?
Because kind of sort of what you said previously with regards to working with individuals and learning to be a team player, 6 months prior to this situation, he showed me that because of the way I'm perceived that this will happen.
You are a very capable man. You can get things done quickly, et cetera, but you also don't like working with the system, which is classic of prophets. You do realize that. Because we are always, it's classic of prophets. And so, but you do need a job. You do have a family to take care of. And so God wants to show you, because not all of us are going to be freelance prophets, and I don't think you're going to be one. Not all of us are going to be freelance prophets, meaning we're just going to go out and just be an itinerant prophet and go from place to place and live in the word of the Lord. Some of us have got to lay down roots and set down works, and you are one of those people. And so you're going to have to know the rules of organization and the rules of institution. And, you know, because there's one thing, you know, the prophetic is broken up in two kinds of prophets. You got your Nabi, who's a part of the institution, and you've got your charismatic, who's out of itinerant. Which one would you say you are called to?
That's a good question. I'm going to take that assessment.
Great. Because if you're called to the charismatic, then you're not going to like rules, because you don't want anybody telling you what to do, because, hey, you hear God for yourself. I'm speaking hypothetically. I don't know you enough to say it's you. I'm speaking hypothetically. But if you're called to the Nabeem side, where you're a part of upholding the Lord's institution, and you still have to learn how not to tear down what he's done and understand that God's rules in the local church and his Sunday morning rules are not his everyday kingdom rules. And so God has a whole kingdom mindset. You think about it. I want to say it again, and then I'm going to pray with you because I want you to hear this. When you think about it, God so wanted David to succeed, he put David through literal hell. Why? Because if you're going to be at the head of an organization, that's what you're going to go through, dealing with people, dealing with dynamics, dealing with devils, dealing with life, okay? He put David through. God did not care that much about Saul's success. He put him through nothing. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Yes, ma'am.
He put Saul through nothing. He just gave Saul the heart of a king. He took the heart of a peasant out. He took the heart of a businessman out and gave him the heart of a monarch. The end. Now, Saul didn't know about setting up armies. He didn't know about defending nations. He didn't know about ambassadors. He didn't know about economy. When he took the kingdom, let me tell you, the money system was wrong. The leaders had fallen. The Lord didn't even own the land like that any longer. I mean, he was possessor, but he certainly wasn't the venerated God. Okay, so Saul took land in a mess with no skills. He took, he took it in a mess with no skills. Now, meanwhile, while Saul was adding to this mess, because he's multiplying the mess that's there, even though there is some order coming, he is setting up, the military, he is setting up the palace guard and the certain, economies and all of that. He's doing that. But overall, he has no skills. He's just doing what he did in his father's business. But he did in his father's business. He just took it to the throne. And God let him. Now, here we got David. On the other hand, now, while Saul is trying to figure it out as he goes along, here's David. God is putting David through everything. He's making him work with other nations. He's making him work with international leaders. He's teaching him how to be a classic assassin so he can fight a war and defend his land. He's making him build an army. He's making him try to feed almost 1,000 people with their wives and children. He's got to create a revenue. He's got to create guard. He's got to build a military. He's got to train soldiers. He's got to win enough to get the favor of the land. David has got to go through. Why? Because the condition of the nation that he has got to take over had to be part of his training. The reason most Christians, most of us fail, two reasons, and I'm pleased to share this with you, two reasons. The first reason is we want to train for what's passing away, and we never want to be prepared for what's coming into existence. So when we get our call to ministry, one world exists. When we get into ministry, it's a whole other world. But guess what? We're not equipped for that. When God is developing you for ministry, this is really interesting. When he's developing you for ministry and what he's developing you, the tools and the situations he's using to develop you are contrary to what's in existence, it's because you're being prepared for a future that has not yet arrived. And your preparation for their future includes your resolution of a path that is not working for God. And that's where you and God are right now. God is putting you through the paces to see how you handle difficulties, how you're going to handle his business when all sorts of crazy things happen. And I can say this to you because I'm telling you, for 25 years, God has trained me for a church that didn't exist, for me to be ready for the church that is coming. He's trained me with situations that I wanted to do everything that everybody was doing to be successful. God didn't let me have any of that. I was like David. I'm off in another country. I'm off in another state. I'm off in another kind of ministry. I'm getting lessons from something else, dealing with people who don't even know what's going on. I'm all of that. Why? So here's what God is saying to you. I'm going to train you for what I called you to do, not for the season in which I called you. And if that's the case, I want to tell you, gird up the loins of your mind. Gear up. And get ready. And don't compare what you're learning for the ministry God's calling you to with what needs to be done today. Because what needs to be done today that God is not letting you do is what's passing away. And what he's training you to do is what you will face.
Yes, ma'am.
Does that make sense to you? Does
absolutely.
It really make sense to you? Okay.
Absolutely.
Because that's the battle you're facing right now, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. and whoever else is listening, that's our issue. And, you know, you're only being when God calls you to ministry, if he calls you quickly, then you're for the present. If he calls you quickly and then sends you off somewhere, then you're being trained for the future. So you're like from Florida to North Carolina? See, he called you for another future, although I do know that you are going to be a traveling man. But God said to tell you, you are called to build up an institution for him. And not everybody is meant to do that. But when we say, you know, it's easy for us to say God's going to take down this and he's going to take out that. But if he takes out something, he has to replace it. And guess what he uses to replace it? People.
Correct.
And that's your call. So that's why your prophetic eye sees things differently. You've had these conflicts over and over again. You've tried to conform. You've tried to reform. You tried to do a whole lot of stuff, and it didn't fit because you are called for what's coming into its season, what's coming into existence. And that's why it's been so topsy-turvy for you to find your footing. You can't get traction in this thing because you're David. God did not want you to roll with that crew, that whole group of prophets that you knew. He wanted you to be a solution to the mess they were going to make.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, anything else I need to tell you? Do you think I answered your question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, so what are we going to do with your job?
That's a good question.
Do you think that anything I told you affected your answer?
No. The answer is do not quit if you don't have to.
Exactly. And what else?
And even in the midst of waiting in this season, stay progressive.
Exactly.
And no matter how it turns out.
I can't hear you breaking up a little bit.
That no matter what the situation is, irregardless, to go back and search and investigate and discern assess me moving
mm-hmm.
forward.
And when you assess you, you're going to have to assess you from as a third party. So you can't do a this is how I feel assessment. You have to do let me take myself out of this, and I'm now sitting in front of a counselor assessment. And you're going to have to ask yourself, how much did I contribute to this, what I could have avoided, but more importantly, what did God see that I overlooked? And for your life, that's going to be a word that you're going to say a lot. What is God seeing that I'm overlooking? What is God seeing that I am rejecting? Because it's what he sees that's going to dictate the external facts. See, what you see is going to dictate you, but what God sees is going to dictate the external factors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it is, because God says you're going to be a great counselor. He's going to use you for counseling. He's going to use you to do a lot of what I'm doing right now with people, and you have to be accurate. You cannot give people counsel according to your opinions, according to your feelings, or how you would do it if you were in a position, because oftentimes when you are a prophet, when you are a prophetic counselor, you don't get an opportunity to say what you would do because nobody cares. It's what
right.
God decreed in this situation. And so that's where you are going to go. I think you're going to do well. I would not quit the job if I didn't need to. But if I felt like I needed to quit it, I would be prepared to do something else if things didn't turn in my favor. Because I could give you the information, but God said to tell you, you can pray this to turn out one way or the other because you have that kind of power with him. So he says, the thing is you need to make up your mind if you want to go back, bite the bullet, suck up the embarrassment, and do it. Or if you
yes,
want to
ma'am.
go off someplace else and start and try all over again. So because this is all about your ego right now. Because God said, I'll go any way you want, but you are a man with power with God. You get his ear, and that's a rare thing. And because you get his ear, you already know what he told you. Now you have to decide whether or not God's going to get his developmental glory out of this or whether or not you're going to walk away and say, I'm going to start all over again with this on your record. But you can pray this outcome. I'm going to pray with you. And if I can, I know I spent a lot of time with you, but your situation, and for those of you all who are listening, bear with me on this, because I went through something similar to what you're going through. I did something very similar with that when I worked for my company. And they were getting ready. The company was going through a great shift, and they were changing. And as a result, I got tapped. Now, like you, I got a dream probably about maybe 3 months prior to the event. And so what happened was I got tapped in what would be construed as a demotion. I was so furious with God. I mean, I fussed with him. You would not believe. I'm sure you were nicer than I was. I was a brat, and I know it. But anyway, but in this dream, I couldn't go back. So then after they did it, then they came up. What they did to me was against the procedures. And so if I wanted to, I can go back to the other position I had, or I could stay where I was. Well, where I was gave me an opportunity to show myself, to show my skills, but also to be developed. And I knew because I had dreamed it that God wanted me to know, you stay with this, I'll make you what you want to be, because I see flaws and deficits that I can deal with when you're not in such a large public arena. So I stayed. And I'm telling you, I stayed there. It was almost a two-year thing, and it was the first 6 months. They embarrassed me all the time, and I would go home and cry because I really said, this is ridiculous, and how do I know it's God? Because then you get the second guessing him. But I want to tell you, at the end of that thing, they gave me the greatest promotion. You know why? Because in that time, God showed me all of the little foxes that were spoiling my vine, that were keeping people from seeing what I really could do in that job. And I say this to you to say, had God not done that, I would not have been able to found my ministry with the wisdom that I have today. And sometimes it's a sovereign thing that he's doing, stepping in, that's equipping you more for what he has down the line than for whatever kind of embarrassment and discomfort we're facing at that time. So God says to tell you, keep the big picture in mind, because no matter how this works, you will not lose. Okay?
Say that again. I'm sorry, Dr. Paula Price.
He said, no matter how this goes, keep the big picture in mind because you will not lose.
Amen. Amen. I received it. Amen.
Keep the big picture in mind because God's picture is bigger than this and even that job. Father, thank you so much for Jerome. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his work, God, and thank you for his faithfulness. First thing we do is we bless his marriage. We bless this union to be cemented by the Holy Ghost. I issue forth today, God, Malachi, spirit of marriage that cements it, that they would have, that they would go into their golden years together. God, I uproot everything and anything that would stand in their way, even 3 years from today, 5 years from today, 10 years from today. We command every threat to be cut off right now. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I thank you for restoring him in his position. God, I thank you that, like the butler with Joseph, you'll restore him for your glory and for your purposes. But, God, that you'll do it with the wisdom that he needs to cherish what you give him and to think rightly and not despise what it is you call him to do. And now, Lord, the next thing I ask that you will begin to take the blindness off that he can see your lessons and your handprint in all of these situations. Let him see you. You know, like I said earlier, let him see you as Elisha wanted his servant to see who was with him and see how you move. So take the blinders off of him that he would see the divine purpose and his ultimate destiny and calling in this event, in this situation. And God, we give him favor. We cover him under the blood of the Lamb. God, we cover him with your own grace and your own mercy. And we restore him. We restore him with your mind and your purposes in the forefront of his mind. And we thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Paula.
Thank you, and God bless. But listen, keep me posted. You can Facebook me.
Yes, ma'am. I sure will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prophet?
Oh, yes, another meaty call that, again, addresses so many situations that more than Jerome are experiencing.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting because one of the things that I like about what we do and being an apostle as opposed to simply being a pastor or a teacher is that as an apostle, I've got to talk God's kingdom, and I've got to talk from the perspective of him as a king, because that's what apostles and prophets have to deal with, because we don't just deal with what happens in the local church. We have to deal with Jesus Christ's dominion and his sovereignty as well as his responsibility to his kingdom in the world. And when you do, the rules are different. You know, local church rules, actually, are not the same as work rules, and work rules of Jesus in the workplace as opposed to Jesus in the pulpit or the Holy Spirit making us feel good in church. And I think that when the saints wrap their head around the reality that Jesus is not just a Sunday morning Jesus, we're going to be all right.
Amen.
Do I have another call?
You do. You have on the line Gwen from Massachusetts, And she is calling because she has been unemployed for 2 years and just got a part-time job, and she would like something permanent. And so she's calling for prayer in that area. Gwen, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello.
Hi, Gwen. How are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I am blessed up and excited in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I just love what you were saying.
Oh, about the workplace?
Everything. Everything.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. So that means that you found it a little bit edifying. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How can I be a blessing to you? Now, first of all, tell me, how is it that you're out of work for 2 years?
Oh, boy.
Now, you know you got to give me the short story.
Yes. You know, I had a lot of healing to do, and I needed to sit still and be quiet.
Okay. So you put yourself on a sabbatical.
Yeah. I needed it. I needed to start listening.
Amen. So
just had an attitude and was asking God, you know, what is it that you want me to do? And things went silent for 2 years. And I kicked and screamed because this is not where I want it to be. Not at all. But when the temper tantrums blew over, it was the best thing, because the Lord took care of me through these 2 years.
And so do you feel like he's sending you back to work now?
Yes, I do, but not in the same way that I had been accustomed to, because now I'm in retail, and that wasn't where I wanted to go. I wanted to go back to corporate. I wanted to go back to the city. I wanted to go back to the life that I had become accustomed to.
Yeah, the life that took you out.
Exactly.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm clear. You know, I like to keep up.
Yes.
I like to make sure that I'm on the right track, you know, because sometimes people are saying one thing. I want to make sure I'm hearing it, so I just want to keep up. So the life that took you out is the life that you wanted to go back to, and then God said no.
Exactly.
And he said no because he knew that it had adverse effects on your psyche.
Amen. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Okay. See, because, you see, you're going to have masters going to make you start from ground zero again.
Yes.
In the sense of you learning to be grateful with that which is the least.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. And I am.
But here's the thing I want to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I do want you to hear. You can't go forward while looking backwards.
That's true. Yes.
So you're going to have to cut off that time. And here's something else that I hear God saying to you, my beloved. And that is, you're going to have to make up your mind that if God never restores you to that level again, he's just.
Yes, that's where I'm at. This is exactly where I'm at.
Because if you are still working, waiting for God to restore what he ended in your life, and that is not his will, then you didn't recognize the issues that he saw that moved him to do what he did.
Exactly. Yes.
So you're going to have to really make up your mind. You might need to work 2 or 3 jobs to make those ends meet. And you know how you hate to have to be out late and all of that. But guess what? You have to do it.
Yes. Yes.
Because you're going to have to let God rebuild you first in your soul and then in your world. And I hear God, let me replenish your soul, then I can replenish your world.
Amen.
And I tell you, you're going to end up with a different vision, because I see you more in some sort of social service agency where you're helping, helping women, but certainly helping distressed people and distressed families find their way back.
You know what, Paula? That is what's in my soul.
That is truly
what is in my soul, because I would say maybe a couple of years ago, I did some volunteer work at a It wasn't a shelter, but it was a place where people who are on the street can come in and have a meal. That was the best. I've never felt so happy, so joyful. In my heart, I felt my heart open. I felt that warmth come in my heart, and I was like, this is it.
Well,
this
that's
is,
what I see
this brings me joy.
I see you, and I tell you what, and you could do it through a thrift shop, you could do it through a coffee shop, you know, you could do it. I mean, you could retail at the Salvation Army and do the same thing. But the point that I want you to get is that I don't see you doing anything more than taking all of that expertise that you gained and lending it to the Lord. You are definitely called to help people come back, and God had to put you through these 2 years that you would be able to not only sympathize, because, see, when you have sympathy, you write a check. When you have empathy, you put forth effort. See, and there's difference. So God wanted you to be able to empathize with the situation, you know, to be touched with the infirmities of these people that he's sending you to. So that's where you're going to go. But you are going to have to work a couple of jobs to eat and make your ends meet. And I know that that's not the kind of doctrine that folk want to teach today, but if I'm going to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, then I need to tell you the truth. And I need to give you the truth that you can act on and that you can. You can act on prudently, because many times people give counsel, and I would like to extend this to the rest of my listeners. Many times people we can give you theological counsel, we can give you trendy pop theology counsel, but you can't act on it. And if you act on it, it will add to your problems. But the Bible says that God moves, he adds no sorrow to it. So you're going to need to work a couple of jobs. I don't care if that's like 2 days here, 3 days here, 3 hours here, 2 hours there. You're going to need to do it. But in doing it, you're going to stumble upon the thing that God wants you to do.
Yes.
And God said to tell you, be open. He said, be open, because you know you overthink things. Sometimes you just overthink everything.
Yes,
and
I do.
And it causes you to take too long. So I hear God saying, be open.
Okay.
And if you're going to be open, you're going to hear the opportunity when it comes. And he says, and don't be too uptight to get your hands dirty. I see you rolling up your sleeves, digging in mess, digging in dishes and things like that. So he said, that's who it is. And he said, through this, he's going to prepare you for the work that he genuinely called you to do.
Yes.
And that work is about 3 to 5 years out.
Okay.
And so you're in training. You're in your Davidic training mode. You know, we like to talk about David, but we don't want to talk about that Davidic training. We want to talk about when David got on the throne, you know, when all the kingdom was at his feet. But see, before he got on the throne with the kingdom at his feet, that boy had to grovel. He had to go through a lot.
Yes.
And he did it over a decade, nearly 2 decades. So the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, be open. And he said, be submissive and be malleable. And you know, because you're so bright and because you have so much experience and you are a gutsy warrior, that's not easy for you to do. But you're going to learn it, because in learning it, you're going to get the real secrets to life that you can even tap into. You are a woman who searched and dabbled a lot of things to try to tap into the secrets of life. But God said, if you go through my training the way I want to do it, I'm going to help you tap into the secrets of life.
Wow. Wow. Because where I'm at now is like I would never be retail. I would never be stocking shelves. I would be never working the night shift. No. And you know what? That was me. But you know what? That's where I'm at now, and I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm. And you're thankful.
Yes.
You're thankful. So I'm going to pray. Here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for your peace. But right now, what I'm going to feel for you is the word that I just gave you, because I need you to go back. Maybe later on today, you'll go back. You know, Prophet Ashley always gives us the address again. I want you to go back later on today, and I want you to listen to what I said. But I want you to listen to me in the chair that you sit in with that lamp. I just want you to listen. And I want you to do it with a notepad in your lap, because you have this little notepad that you use. It's really a journal. But I want you to take notes on what I said. When it's done, I want you to pray, because you're going to hear a lot of what I said you missed, and it's going to be those things that fill in the blanks for you.
Okay.
So that is what I want you to do. That is my suggestion for you. If you do that, and you're going to listen to it a couple more times, it's going to start to take shape. As you do, really revealing it more to you and opening up how you think about him. Because God said, I want to revolutionize your perspective of me, because it needs an overhaul right now.
Yes.
So you're going to appreciate this. So let me pray. Father, thank you so much for Gwen. God, thank you for her being a fighter. Thank you for her being having that bounce back spirit, that resilience that you've given her, God, that has brought her through life, through these perils and trials. And now, God, I'm asking that you show her the other side of you, not only just the other side or the softer side of you, but also, God, the resilient side of you, the side that is tender and yet tough, the side that builds and still breaks down and then rebuilds. God, I'm asking her to meet you as you are in her life and in her purpose and in her calling. I'm asking that you would give her favor on her job. I'm asking that the second job comes out of nowhere, supplies with her, give her what she needs to fill the gap and fill the void.
Amen.
But
this
time, I'm asking you to show her how to sketch out the vision that you have for her. Lord, let her understand Jeremiah 29:11 for her in this season of her life, and let her be able to sketch it out. Let her be able to write that vision and make it plain so that when it comes time for her to petition for funds and grants and support and help, that, Lord, it is vivid. So, God, let these next 3 years be very pointed, very targeted, and very structured for her so that she will be able to do what you need her to do on time, on point, in the day and hour that you've already prescribed. And I bless you for doing it, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, ooh, I needed this. I needed this. And like I said, I'm so grateful, Paula, for something that I had turned my nose up at. And I absolutely love it. And that's why I knew that the Spirit was changing me. Because I never would have walked in there. I never would have went in there and filled out an application. It was tough. It was not easy. Because like I said before, I was accustomed to a certain way of life. But the Lord was not opening those doors for me. I don't care how many interviews I went on. It ain't happening.
Well,
I want you over here. Part time. In the dirt.
Well, you're going to do well. And you know what? Let God finish the work he began.
Yes.
That's my final word to you today.
Yes.
Let God finish the work he began. And you're going to be surprised at what happens on the other side. And I know that. I'm not going to say anymore because I see it all the way down to you're 75 years old. I'm going to stop now because I want God to finish what he's doing. So I'm going to bless you. I'm going to release you. Listen,
Thank you.
Facebook me, call again, but keep me posted.
I will. Thank you so much. God bless. God bless.
God bless you too, my beloved.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, is there a producer?
Oh, yes. You seen down into the 70s. That's all right.
Yeah, I saw her life all the way to age 75. I said, ooh, Lord, I'm going to stop right now and we won't have another call. So while we're talking about call, let's get another call.
All right. We have next on the line, Lovey. He is calling he is in between jobs and would like some prayer and insight.
Good. Well, how are you, Lovey?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm all excited. Well, you know I'm on fire. Don't you hear me? I'm charged.
Oh, yeah, you're charged. And I took a couple of blows that you already kind of doing your exhortation. I said, ouch. Let me write this down.
You took a couple of blows. But you know what? I'll tell you something. Just remember this word. Only heavyweights can compete with heavyweights. And only heavyweights can contend it. You know, if you're going to be ready for the heavyweight bout, they're not going to cause you to spar with a welterweight. That's just a weight. So the fact that you can roll with me means that you are called to be where I am and to roll, end up where I am today. You're going to do great. Now, what did you do?
Wow.
You said you cleaned jobs. What did you do? Did you get in stuff? What did you do?
Did I do what, ma'am?
Did you get in stuff? What did you do? Why are you in between jobs?
Well, it's funny. Right before I came to the Apostolic Summit, I remember the word that you gave me back in March when you were saying, you said about 6 to 9 months, 6 to 10 months, that, that you saw something else open it up. But before that would happen, I need to start sending out feelers, like resume feelers, and start kind of looking around. And I totally forgot about it. But then right before I came to the summit, the summit, it just came back to me. And then literally that Monday I returned. lost my job.
Wow.
And I was like, huh. Well, okay. So I didn't panic. So, you know, I didn't go to a pity party, nothing like that. What I decided to do, I said, all right, Lord, and it will be just you and me. We need to talk. Let's figure this out. And during that time, you know, I did like a true fast. I shut off my social media, no TV. It was just me and God. And he showed me some things. He answered a lot of my questions that I needed to hear. Some of it was reaffirmation, which you just said, and doing an exhortation. So it put me at a peace. And then later on that week, once I was at peace about it, later on that week, my car totally just broke down. I was driving, and then my back wheel literally snapped off while I was driving on the highway, and my car almost tipped over, but thank God it didn't. So now, car broke down, lost the job. I've still been having interviews, and I've been having interviews, and I'm kind of wondering, like, all right, Lord, like, part of me wants to go back to where I came from, because I kind of wanted to finish what I started, because, you know, I started with those boys, and then, you know, kind of just to leave kind of abruptly kind of, you know, mess with me. So I kind of want to go back to where I came from, but there's a part of me that is saying, like, I'm not going back to that. And, you know, yes.
Now, so wait a minute, because, see, I remember you did. You said you had you were working with another kind of social service environment, is that right?
Correct. Yes, correct. Boy, I was working with at-risk teenagers.
Right. Boy. I thought I remembered that when we first began talking, and then you went into this other thing for economic reasons, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, exactly. So now and then, you know, It's been a lot, you know. You know, I apply for benefits. I get no benefits. They say I don't qualify because I'm in school. So I'm just like, all right, Lord, you know, it's you and me. I know you're going to have to open up a door soon because I get no benefits, no nothing. So just praying that God opens up a door. And then also the job that I did, however, let me say this. I did accept a job today. Part-time, it's unstable. But my mindset was like, you know what, I just need income until something opens up for real. So I accepted
right.
it, you know, but, you know, it's very unstable because I can get released just like that if I don't meet numbers and stuff like that. So,
well, good. That's great. That's good. You can get released just like that, which means you have to learn how to make it on your own strength. Is that right? In your own ability.
Correct.
Good, because you need that. Because you have a heart to help people. That whole thing with those at-risk boys is based heavy on you because ultimately you need to establish something like that. And when you do, it's going to rely on you making it on your own merits and your own abilities. So this is great. You have an opportunity right now to indulge yourself or outdo your personal best every day and to see just how great the hand of the Lord is on you. Now, I remember our last call, and I told you, you were a gifted son. You were a blessed son. So now God is going to put you in a position where you can discover that.
Amen.
Uh-huh. I was going to say it for you if you didn't. But, yes, I was. Because, see, God, to whom much is given, much is required, and to whom they expect the most, you know what I mean? They give the most, they expect the most. So God is saying to you, you are going to have to get good at stretching yourself and coming out of your comfort zone because there are gifts in you, there are abilities in you that if you are not put to the test, if God doesn't stretch you, they will never come alive. They will never surface. And I'm telling you, this job here, yeah, you don't like it because it's not the comfort zone where you are secure. You are going to have to stretch. I'm in school. Now I got to stretch and meet these quotas. Oh, God, Jesus, what are you doing? I got to come up with enough money to get a car. No, you're going to find out how great you are on the inside. And you're going to find
Amen.
Out what everybody's been prophesying and preaching and saying to you that you had hoped we'd shut up saying because you know the weight and the onus is going to put on you. But this is good for you. This is really good because now God is saying you can keep this job or you can lose this job by your own merit. It's on you. You're a man of your own soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's on you. And isn't that great? It's on you. And welcome
right.
to the world of adulthood. It's on you.
Right.
So you're not going to have all of the little wiggle room and all of the fun time, but you will have opportunity to explore your hidden resources, your latent talents, and even your drive. Now you can make as much money as you want or as little money as you want.
And, yeah, that's how this definitely this job is set up to where, I mean, it sells. And, I mean, I guess when me and Lord, you know, me and God was really, you know, kind of talking fun about this, I was like, I mean, there's potential to make really good money because it sells, you know, but then, you know, I don't know. It was just, yeah, I guess, you know, I guess I'll just see where it goes.
No, listen, you just told me in our last call, see, because, you know, I got a good memory. Folks are stunned at my memory. Sometimes it really goes in overdrive. Mine is in overdrive with you right now. So you just told me at your last call, which was part of our conversation in your first call way back in March, you just told me you pulled off an event that I counseled you to go ahead on and do and told you you were going to succeed. And you pulled off an event out of nothing, out of nowhere, and it was successful. Did you not just tell me that?
I did.
Okay, so now what are you trying to find, some three chords up in here? No, you can do it. You pulled off
right.
that phenomenal event. Why? It was in you to do it. So if it's in you to do it, then you guess what? It wasn't a fluke. In life, let me tell you something. Expertise is taking a fluke and making it a habit and making it a practice. So God needs you to take that fluke and make it a practice. The same resources, the same drive, except this time you're going to have to do it whether your enthusiasm is high or low, whether the circumstances are positive or not, whether the people appreciate it or don't. You're going to make it happen. God has a reason for forcing you to make your life happen. There's a reason. And I told you before, you're a very bright man, you're very driven, you're very talented, but you got to be driven for a reason. And God wants you to know that he's got to give you the reasons to be driven as you need to be. You can do this, and frankly, I'm going to go on record to say this, I'm glad it's recorded, because I'm going on record to say the Holy Ghost tells me you can do anything you put your mind to. This call is not about whether or not you can do it. This call is whether or not, Daddy, do I have to? This is a Daddy, do I have to call? Because the
right.
fact of the matter is, you can do it.
Right.
So this is a piece of cake for you. There are very few people who walk through life with the grace and the charisma that you have. Very few people have that ability. But this is the first time that God has put you in a tough spot, and you don't like it.
I don't. And to be honest with you, I think the part that kind of tripped me out was there was a part of me. I wanted to be depressed about this, but for some reason, God would just not let me be depressed about it. I would just be at peace, even though I can't get no benefits. I mean, nothing. I mean, I know my money's looking funny. I mean, but for some reason, every time I kind of catch myself to go into depression, God would just encourage my spirit, and I'll be okay.
But do you know why he's doing that? Because if you pursue this with the mind that he needs, the other miracles are in this. There are sometimes that God bundles miracles, but he bundles them so that that you have to go through all of this unpleasant-looking outside stuff to get in it. Once you get in it, you're going to see the blessing. As surely as Jesus is Lord and a witness between us, there's a blessing in the midst of this, and it's not far off.
Wow.
That is why he won't let you get depressed, because God is holding you. In other words, here's what it is. You're working off God. The reason you can't get depressed is because you're literally moving off God's faith in the matter and not yours. And when God puts us through a process, he keeps us up and upbeat about it, because we're operating off of his faith in the outcome and not yours.
Amen.
So God has
Amen.
Grace in his outcome, and you're getting swept away, and you're going to get the benefits of his faith. You are going to do well. Now, you can do this job. You also have skills where you can do internet stuff. You can do consulting work. There's a whole lot you can do. You are not in trouble.
It almost kind of feels like it, but I receive it.
I know. And believe me, I've been where you are, because you think, well, she doesn't know. Let me tell you something. I'm the woman that started all of this from nothing, with everybody telling me it's going to fail and that it's not what I ought to do, and starting it with no money And if you ever, when we see you again and you listen to, you talk to your advisor, she'll tell you, I'm not speaking what I don't know. I'm telling you that there are, every time I went to God, he and I would fight. He was like, you got the money. I don't have the money. Why do you keep saying that? I don't have it. He said, you got it. Then he shut up. Until eventually he started showing me all of the hidden things in me. The first hidden riches in a secret place is what's the hidden talents in you. That's your first hidden riches.
Right.
So you don't stop in, you know, because it's not going to be a cakewalk for you. And it wasn't for me. But if God hadn't pushed me, if he had just doled out to me the way I wanted him to, he just gave me good job after good job and easy this and easy that, I would have never created the things that we've done, and I would not be on the telephone with you today.
Right. Amen.
You are the first secret place your riches are hidden is in you. And you need to tap into that. That's your first hidden riches. Tap into that. Get your talents and say, okay, God, how am I going to make some lemonade? How am I going to make some orange juice? How am I going to make a chicken omelet? Because that's what God wants you to do. Now, if this was somebody else, that may not be the counsel they got. But you, I know you. And you, that's what God is doing. It's no different than what I told you way back in March, and it won't be any difference when we talk next year if you don't take this counsel. There are things, ideas that God is talking to you about. There are inventions that God is talking to you about. There are creations that God is talking to you about. But you want the perfect circumstances before you do it. And so God said your perfect circumstances and my perfect storm are two different things. So you're in the perfect storm to produce something new.
That makes sense. And I receive everything that you said because, I receive it. I guess my last concern before we close out is, I guess one of the top concerns for me taking this job when I accepted it was because when I did the interview, the guy came across very money hungry and I just don't want this job to compromising me helping out my local church. So I was very fearful about.
Well, let me help you out with that because you know I got an answer because you did call the Paula Price Show. So let me just tell you, I'm going to help you out. If you don't want this job to compromise your local church and cut a deal with God, God, my first payment is always going to go to my local church, and everything after that is my life. You need to make a Jacob covenant with God where Jacob said, you see how Jacob and Laban said, you need to make a covenant like that. So you let God know, God, you see to it that I do this and this, and I'm going to do that because God's a businessman. I know we don't like to think so because all we recognize is Jesus on the cross, but God's a businessman. He's been running businesses and running worlds long before we got here. So if you don't want it to compromise your local church, then no matter what, if you only get one sale, give it to your local church and put God to the test. You only get one sale a week, do that because I promise you he's going to blow your mind.
Okay. Amen.
Hallelujah. See, because we do that to the Lord, love you. I want to tell you something. We do that because we don't think like the mature adults he's looking to make us. So we'll say, well, God, I would do this, but see, then it's going to cost me my tithes. God's like, no, first of all, your tithes, and there's no such thing as your tithes. Those tithes are mine. So if you take care of me first, I promise you I'm going to take care of you. So you cut a deal with him. Like Jacob said to Laban, just give me all the speckled calves. Just give me all the little speckled ones. You don't even have to give me a good one. And all he did was just work his covenant with God, put that little, let them see that, and he ended up with more livestock than Laban had. So why? Because it wasn't, exempting God was not an option. When you take cheating God off the table, everything else falls in place. When you take depriving God off the table, everything else falls in place. When you take putting God last off the table, everything else falls in place. And all of that is what you're going to get because I'm telling you, I'm going to pray right after I make this statement, but I'm telling you, you're called to be a great man. And if you're called to be a great man, you got a Davidic track, too, that you got to beat. You got to beat this track in order to rise into who God called you to be.
Amen.
All right, now, if this was another, and I'm going to say to all of my listeners, if this was another person, that counsel may not be. But for you, this is your own counsel. So, no, there is not going to be, listen, you're not going to get the sympathies you're looking for. God is going to make you roll up your sleeves and buck up and be a big man, and you're going to do well at it. It would be different if I felt that you wouldn't, but I promise you, you're going to do well because that is on your life, and you need to take my word at heart. On your life. You know, you are like the KISS kid. There are some people on the planet that's who they are. You need to start exploiting that and stop trying to avoid it.
Amen.
Amen? You're going to do well. I promise you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Lovey. I thank you for his victory. I thank you for his resolve. I thank you for his determination. Lord, and I thank you for settling in him. Lord, put that anchoring rod in his soul. Anchor him. God, give him that steel pillar that causes him to stand no matter what, push no matter what. Lord, make him move when he wants to sit. Make him push when he wants to sleep. Make him stretch when he's tired. God, cause the greatness in him that's hiding in his soul to be born. Blow on it, God. Send your bellows on it and flame the greatness in him that he can see the wonderful work that you've done, and you can use him for your glory, God, and for your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I personally put in around him, and I set in motion all of the circumstances he needs to break through, all of the circumstances he needs to see what you need. I put the resources in. I dispatched the spirits and agencies on assignment for him that he can see and know that this is a good thing and that what you're doing for him, the thoughts that you have of him are really good and not evil, but God, that you want to give him a future and a hope and that you want to do him good and not evil. God, bless this man, but open up his eyes to see, his ears to hear. Let him know, like Jacob, he has a great call, but you have to train him to do it your way. Let him know, like Moses, he's got a great call, but he has to be broken to do it your way. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for hearing this prayer and quickly, yet to quote Obasa, manifesting it. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be in touch, I'm sure, because you're a son, so I expect to hear from you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, and God bless, Dr. Price.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prophet.
Oh, yes.
You have a special interest in that one, huh?
Get him good.
He's getting good, huh?
I said,
Oh, he's going to do great. You know, you meet people who you can just hear their spirit, and there are some people that I can hear their call and their destiny in the sound of their voice, and I think, come on, guys, let's go. This is done. And so he's one of those people. Now, listen, I have a few minutes. Do you think I have time enough for a quick call? And do we have somebody that we know will be quick?
No, I don't think anybody's going to be quick, but I do have somebody. One more person for you.
Okay.
All right. This is Larry from North Carolina. Larry also needs employment. He needs a job, and he is also a full-time student, and he is needing prayer for his marriage. So, Larry, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hey, how are you?
I am fine, Larry. How are you doing? Is this your first time calling?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. Well, we're on a tight schedule because you and I got to end in a few minutes, so let me get right into it. What's on your heart? How do you want me to pray for you?
Okay, what I really want prayer for is really down to two things. One is my finances. My wife and I've been saved now for 13 years, and we've really been struggling financially for the whole, you know, ever since we've been married. And that's one of the things I want to pray for. And the other thing is, really for my ministry, well, for ministry altogether, because, again, like I said, I've been saved for 13 years, and it just seemed like I'm in a place of being stuck right now. And, you know, I just want God to, you know, I'm just praying for some answers of where I am in him right now.
Okay. Now, do you and your wife both work?
Yeah, well, my wife, she works for the central office for the school system, and I'm actually looking for another job. I'm going to school full-time, and I'm in search for a job right now to, you know,
okay,
along with school.
Well, I'm asking, first of all, well, here's the thing. We got to make a mind. Are you trying to finish school, or do you want to enter ministry? Because the two are going to conflict.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I do want to finish school. You know,
okay,
I mean,
you realize you're only one person, so you're either going to go to full-time school, have a part-time job, continue to contribute to the stability of your family, or you're going to go in ministry that's going to drain your money.
Oh, yeah, I understand. And what I meant by ministry, I'm sorry, is as far as what he want me to do, you know, not necessarily full-time ministry, but as far as what he's calling me to do generally, you know.
Are you in church?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so the best that he's going to call you to do generally is help out your local church when you can.
Okay.
So be at peace with that. Finish school, because God gets a lot more mileage out of educated folks than we are taught to believe. So he needs thinkers, he needs some decision makers, he needs trained people. So you're going to finish school. But what I'm going to pray for is for you to get a job.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to pray for, because that is God's will for you and for you to finish school. And God said, and buck up in your schoolwork. Do it like you're doing it unto him.
Okay.
He said, no more mediocre, substandard stuff. Go the distance for him on this, because you did not make up your mind to go to school. He made it up for you.
Okay.
Okay? Father,
yes.
In Jesus' name, I'm asking that you would have mercy on Larry and his circumstances, and God, reach forth your hand in your own personnel center and your own database and get him the job he needs that he can stay with until he finishes school. I'm asking that you would get it for him quickly. Open the way out of no way. I open the way out of no way in the name of Jesus, and God, cause him to connect with it. Send him to the agency, the employment agency that you've already set this up for, and God, guide his footsteps and do it quickly, Lord, in Teroko Chakra. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
And amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, that wasn't so bad, but I want to say this to you again. God said, I want you to pick up your performance in school. He needs you to try to go for the top of the top and the best of the best. For whatever reason, that's where you need to be in order for this all to pay off for you.
Okay.
All righty?
Yes.
God bless you.
Bless you, too. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Prophet, did I do all right, Ashley?
You done did it.
I've done it, and I've got a couple of minutes to spare. But isn't it great to know when God is moving in your life? And you know, I was thinking about him, and I thought, God, for those of you who are in school, the Holy Ghost said, but the shining stars command the fastest attention and the quickest response. So shine in the things that he gave you to do. We're coming up on Christmas, which is my favorite time of the year. I will not be talking to you again until after Christmas. I'm excited about that. I want to wish each and every one of you an awesome holiday. Go to my store and see if there's some last-minute gifts you can give for people. There's nothing wrong with giving people the gift of a future and the gift of answered prayer and destiny fulfilled. And that's what we have on our site. We've got a lot of packages that you can give people who want to answer their call and get answers for their destiny. So do that. Until next Thursday, I wish you the very best, and I'll tell you the truth for the record. I celebrate Christmas. I don't celebrate Santa, but I celebrate Christmas. It doesn't make a difference if it's not December 25th in the chronology. The fact of the matter is the Prince of Peace came to earth, and he shed his blood for our lives. And if there was no Jesus, there would be no Christmas. So enjoy it and give God praise. Until next Thursday. God bless you. We're going to close it out on some announcements, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Well, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you, Dr. Price, for having me on the call tonight. It is such a privilege to actually reach out to your audience and just tell them firsthand what the assessment in PPM Global has done personally in my life and also in the ministry that God has us overseeing. The assessment itself is just phenomenal. We have a lot of different people coming through our ministry and building. We're in the process of building and establishing our ministry. We've been planted for 6 years, and there's a lot of things that's going on in our ministry that we're trying to get a handle on. And you know how in ministry you go through certain seasons of your life, and it's almost like you want to know, how do we get to the next step? You want to keep moving forward. Well, we got to a place where we were always searching and said, God, help us to mature and help us to get to that next level. And God planted PPM Global on our pathway, and we're so thankful for that, because with PPM Global, it allowed us to actually tap into something that we would not otherwise tap into. The assessment that you guys have, it's such a blessing to us, because it's, as you always say in your advertisement, it's not a test. It's an assessment. And one of the great things about this assessment is, you know, I like to say this. I've been telling people that I've been talking about the assessment at PPM Global. I said, listen, this is for serious inquiries only. If you're not looking to know and grow, then this is probably not the thing for you, because they're going to tap into some things and bring revelation knowledge to you, and they're also going to help you grow in the very things that God has called you to grow in and to move in. And so this assessment has been great for our ministry. My wife and I lead the church, and we took the assessment first, and then it just impacted us so much that we wanted our church to be a part of it. So we took a small group, and we had them to take the assessments. And I tell you what, just to be honest with you, it shook the church. It shook those who had taken the assessment, and it really shook them at the core, because a lot of the things that my wife and I had been telling them and a lot of things that they needed to know, this assessment brought it up. It just did.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.